Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Master Plan. I'm your host, Michael Filipkowski, and today I am recording right from Riverside. So, brief little change. Anchor is going through some changes right now, and from now on I will be using Riverside to record. So, if things sound a little bit different or whatever, it's because I'm using this new platform and there are some things I need to get used to with it. But that being said, I will still be uploading episodes. Now, I've already tried to record this episode once. And for whatever reason, Anchor bugged out on me and I lost the recording. I lost it. So it was a great episode, but I'm going to be basically talking about the exact same things again, obviously, because the only person who heard that episode was me. So, without further ado, we're talking about the Chicago White Sox today and everything about them. So, let's start, and I want to start out by talking about where they are now. So, the Chicago White Sox currently stand as the second worst team in the MLB, only right above the Miami Marlins, which is really not saying much. The Marlins are one of the worst teams I've ever seen, and they have zero bats. They just traded Luis Araez, who was 350 or better last. I don't even remember. It was so incredible. He's over 400 for a good part of the season, and they just traded him to San Diego, so he's there now. They've obviously given up on their season, but I will say the Chicago White Sox are just as bad. Now, they do have some talent, and we're going to get to that talent later on in the episode. But this team, some of the worst batting I have seen in a very long time. So first, I would like to point out that the Chicago White Sox have scored the fewest runs through this point in the season, right? Out of every single team, the Chicago White Sox have scored the fewest runs. So let's put this in perspective. The Dodgers have scored the most runs out of any team at 220 runs, all right? The Chicago White Sox have scored 101 runs, actually, less than the Dodgers in just about the same amount of games. The Dodgers have played one more game, so all things are equal. It's about 100. The Chicago White Sox trail every team, obviously, and the next worst team is the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals are still 17 runs better than the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox currently have the worst run differential in the MLB, only one run, I guess, behind the Miami Marlins, who are really, really bad. They are 11-31, but they have a better run differential by one run. So they are a worse team with a lower record, and they've still scored more runs, and they have a better run differential. So good for them. Okay. Now, who is on the White Sox? Now, if you're not a White Sox fan, which I assume that there's probably zero White Sox fans listening to this episode, just because there aren't that many of them to begin with, and then why would they be listening to this podcast? I don't know. If you're not a White Sox fan, you probably know maybe a couple players at most on this team. Now, no one on this team is playing well. Their best player right now is probably Paul DeJong. And I'm going to call him DeJong. It might be DeJong. I obviously know that they're different pronunciations, but I'm going to call him Paul DeJong for this episode. And I apologize if that's incorrect. But he's probably their best hitter right now. He's hitting 248, right? He's got the best average on the team, with over 100 at-bats. Corey Lee has a better average, but he only has 74 at-bats in the season, so a much more limited sample. But DeJong has 109 at-bats. He has a .293 on-base percentage, which is so pretty low, and is slugging .477. He's got 6 home runs. Gavin Sheets, he's hitting .242. .348 on base percentage, so he's done a nice job of at least getting on base. He has 17 walks on the season, slugging .408. And his OPS is 756. Paul DeJong is 770. Now, those are fine, I guess, right? I don't mind if you have your right fielder and your shortstop who are, you know, middle of the road, middle of the pack guys. That's fine. Teams are going to have, you know, even if you look at the Dodgers, right? If we go to the Dodgers really fast, they are going to have players on their team who are, you know, solid, but not your stud level hitters, right? That's just the way it is. Now, Max Muncy, he's saying 234 in the season, on base percentage is 340, slugging 508. So he's a little bit better. But Teoscar Hernandez, 252, 316, 497. So again, a little bit better, obviously. But again, we're still talking about the same type of idea here. These guys are good. They're playing well. But they're not the stars of the team, right? Mookie Betts is obviously one of those guys. Will Smith is hitting very, very well this season. Freddie Freeman is playing very, very well. Obviously, Teoscar Hernandez does have 11 home runs. And then you have Shohei Ohtani, who's hitting 352. And his OPS is 190. By 190, I mean 1,090. So he's been unbelievable. So very different levels. But it shows that even the best teams are going to have players who, you know, are not going to be the best hitters, right? Are going to be those 6, 7, 8 guys, more defensive players. Fair enough, right? The issue is that Gavin Sheets and Paul DeJong are the best hitters on this team, right? Andrew Vaughn has one home run on the season. He's saying 207. He's been horrible. He's slugging. Do you know how hard it is to slug under 300? It is so hard to slug under 300. It is so hard, right? He has 9 doubles, 1 home run. He has 10 extra base hits and 145 at-bats. That's unbelievable, especially for a first baseman. We're not even talking about, you know, a center fielder maybe, or a second baseman, or a catcher, whatever. First basemen generally are pretty good hitters, and he's slugging under 300 on the season. I mean, that is so impressive that someone can do that through 145 at-bats, and especially a guy like Andrew Vaughn, who's had a good history. I mean, he's not a bad player. He's been good in his career. You know, listen, he hit 258 last season. I mean, not great, but he did have 21 home runs and slugged 429, right? The season before, he also slugged 429, had a slightly better batting average, hit 17 home runs, but he's also 26 years old. Like, he is a good young player, and he has a I would have thought is a bright future in the league. He's a good hitter. He's a good hitter. This season, he's fallen off a cliff. I mean, there's just nothing there. Andrew Benintendi is also slugging under 300. He's actually slugging 281. His batting average on the season is sub-200 at 194. And just there are other guys on this team. Eloy Jimenez, 106 at-bats. And he's hitting 208. He is slugging 349. He does have 4 home runs. Corey Lee does have 4 home runs as well. But again, these bats are nowhere near good enough. You know, they have a lot of, you know, average-ish guys on this team, maybe. I think that's the nicest thing you might be able to say. Average-ish, right? Guys who are good-ish, but maybe not great. Just huge problems. Huge problems for me. With the White Sox, they have no hitting, and their hitters that they do have, you know, I would say that again. Luis Robert, who has been injured this season, thus far this season, he's been on the 10-day IL, hasn't played a game since the beginning of April. Right, again, he wasn't playing super well, but, you know, he did have 2 home runs in 7 games. So that's not that bad. That's still pretty good, and I get it. He wasn't playing great, but it's the beginning of the season. It's cold weather, and he's been out since the 5th of April, right? That's a big problem. Johan Moncada, he's been out, and he'll be out for a while. And I get, you know, he's maybe not historically been like unbelievable at the plate. Like, he's solid though. He gives you 10 plus home runs a season. He'll slash 260. He's a good hitter. He's solid. Again, not a star, but he's good defensively. But they just don't have these guys. Their depth is gone. Their hitters are super. And again, Johan Moncada, you know, if you look at his game log, again, he did play the beginning of the season. He was hitting 282. And he, you know, again, he didn't have a home run yet, but he was slugging 410. But he got injured in April and he's done. So the team is significantly worse now and he'll be done. He's on the 60-day IL. So he'll be done for a while. So it's gone really from bad to worse. It wasn't like the White Sox were any good with him, but even without him, they're still fairly bad. And by the way, the White Sox are they're 6-10 in their last, they're 6-4 in their last 10. So we're actually seeing the White Sox playing good baseball in general, and they still suck. I don't think that hitting is definitely a problem, but the pitching is as well. So we're going to go pitcher by pitcher for the White Sox, and we're going to discuss the immense problems that this team has at this position or at these positions. So first, we need to start out with their, I guess you could call him their staff ace, Eric Fied. What is there to say? He's mediocre at best. You know, you look at his career, he spent his whole career with Washington, right, with the Nationals, and he wasn't great. Last two seasons, 470, 547, excuse me, and then 581, right? He went 6-13 last year, pitched just 127 innings, so he wasn't pitching that often. And he just wasn't, frankly, wasn't that good. Now, this season, right, he's 3-0 with the White Sox. He has a 3 ERA flat, and his whip has dropped. So, okay. Clearly, he's pitching well for now. I mean, this is a good start. I mean, he's not been bad. Now, is he an ace? I can't say. But he hasn't been bad. He's at least serviceable. But the issue is he's not an ace, right? He's not what even a decent team is looking for, right? A decent team is looking for a quality, experienced ace. Not a guy who's never pitched more than 150 innings or had a sub-4 ERA at the end of a season, right? I mean, that is not a guy who a team is looking for. But he's been their best guy. Then we have Garrett Crochet. And for this video, I'll call him, or this podcast, I'll call him Garrett Crochet. Or Crochet. And I'm going to keep saying that. There's a reason why I'm pronouncing it Crochet. He hasn't quite been shit this season. He's been like, I don't even know the word. It's like between not great and bad. Not very good. Or he's struggled. Let's put it that way. He has a 4.63 ERA. His whip actually is not that bad. He has a 0.99 whip, which leads to me believing that he gives up the long ball a lot. By the way, the White Sox do lead the league in home runs allowed this season. Among the many stats that they lead the league in terms of bad statistics, that is one of them. That leads me to believe that he is giving up the long ball a lot, which I believe he's given up, I want to say 7 home runs or 9 home runs. Let me see if I can just pull this up. Let's go to game log. Season statistics, yeah, he's given up 8 home runs in 9 starts. So needless to say, he's not been great. Let's just look at Fangraphs. Let's look at Fangraphs just for a second. I want to see what his FIP is. is. His FIP this season is a 3.51. So, no, is this the right guy? Yeah, it is. Oh. His FIP this season is a 3.33. So, not actually that bad. He's actually pitching a little bit better than the ERA would suggest. But still, can't get behind him with the long ball that he's given up so far this season. He does have a good strikeout rate. Again, if you put any one of these guys in the fourth or fifth spot for any team, they would be like, all right, you know, obviously not great, but it's not bad. This is serviceable. Then they have Michael Soroka, who is, just feel bad for the guy, honestly. You look at Michael Soroka and you look at his 2018 season, not even 2018 season, you look at his 2019 season, just look at it by itself. And you say to yourself, 13-4, 2.68, 1.11, 175 innings. That's pretty good. That's very, very good for any pitcher on any team in the league. Any team. By the way, pitched in the playoffs, 7 innings, 1 start, and won it. I didn't get the win, but he did pitch 7 innings, and let up just 1 run. So, not terrible. On the White Sox this season, right? Last season he did struggle, had a 6.4 ERA. This year, exactly the same, 6.4 ERA, WHIP nearly identical at 1.5. And he's pitched 45 innings. And he's 0-5 in his starts. He's just, I feel bad for him because he was a guy who pitched very, very well that once, I mean, very, very well. And it looks like things have just, the wagon has completely come apart. There is just, it's a rough time being Michael Soroka. And then we have Chris Flexen, a guy who I actually personally like. I think Flexen is a good depth piece for a lot of rosters, and I think he can actually be good in the pen. I think he's serviceable in both places. He served in the pen last year for Seattle before he got traded to Colorado. Last season, one of the worst of his career. I mean, you look at Chris Flexen and you take out last season. He had a really good 2021, right? 31 starts, 14 wins, 6 losses, 180 innings. That's very good. Followed up with a good campaign in 2022. Not nearly as strong. 33 games, 22 starts. Went 8-9. 3.73 ERA. 1.33 WHIP. So slightly above and 140 innings. So not bad by any reach of the imagination. He was fairly good. Last year, he had like a 6.5 ERA. It just was not. It just was not very good. This season for the White Sox, he's been okay at best. 4.3 ERA, 1.2 WHIP. Listen, I think he's a guy, if he's on the right roster, he can be a very big contributor. But I just don't see it here. And the White Sox, again, all these guys individually, if you put them at a 4 or 5 spot, maybe a 3 spot, you would say, man, that's pretty good. Or that's all right. You know, that's a solid pickup, solid piece. Depth spot in the rotation, but none of these guys are fit to carry the top of the rotation. And so it's like, well, who's the guy? I don't know. And it's not like their bullpen is any better. I mean, listen, when you're relying on Michael Kopech, who is another story where it's like, hey, this is a guy who, you know, at the end of 2022, when they moved him to be a full-time starter in 2022, after a solid campaign in the pen in 2021, 69 innings, 3.5 ERA, and was fairly good in 2022. Again, although he went 5-9 in games, he had 3.54 ERA, 1.2 WHIP, and 120 innings. Solid. Last season, fell off the wagon, 5-12, 5.43 ERA, and this season they moved him into the pen, where he's been fine. I mean, he's not been great. 3.66 ERA, 1.22 WHIP, and just 20 innings. I mean, he's been all right, but he's not anything special out of the pen. They do have a couple guys who do, you know, kind of pique interest. Jordan Leisure. I don't know if he's their closer now, but he's been pitching fairly well. Fairly well for the White Sox recently, especially in May. Four innings, no earned runs. His April was a little rough, but he's probably been one of their better relievers alongside Jared Schuster and Tim Hill. Some other guys who have been, you know, nice contributors, guys who have, you know, kept runs off the board. Again, Schuster called up fairly recently, pitched the other day against Cleveland, went two innings, no earned runs. Actually, he's only given up three earned runs this month. That was in a 2.1 inning performance versus the Rays in a loss, but he's been all right. So they do have okay depth bullpen pieces. The issue is, the team as a whole is fairly bad. They have no hitting, and the hitters that are decent are injured. They have no pitching. They have no starting pitching and no bullpen pitching. And let me remind you, this is a team that just a few years ago was running the league. Look at them in 2021. They were 93-69 in 2021 under Tony La Russa. In 2021, they won the division. Let me go through their top 12 players according to Baseball Reference, and I'll tell you where they are now. Lance Lynn, Cardinals. Carlos Rodon, Yankees. Tim Anderson, Marlins. Lucas Giolito, Red Sox. Yoan Moncada, still in the White Sox, but injured. Yasmani Grandal, Pirates. Luis Robert, White Sox, injured. Dylan Cease, was on the White Sox, got traded to the Padres. Jose Abreu, Astros. Liam Hendricks, Red Sox. Luis Garcia, White Sox. Adam Engel, Padres. So of their top 12 best players from that season, only four are still on the team. So two-thirds of the players on the Padres from their 2021 campaign are gone. Of the top five, only one is still there, and he's injured. The two top White Sox players from that season are both currently injured. So the team is collapsed, right? You expected some of the older guys, again, like Grandal, Abreu, Cesar Hernandez. Okay, maybe they'll move on. That makes sense. But you still had years on Tim Anderson. Andrew Vaughn was young. Luis Robert. Yermin Mercedes, Tim Anderson. You had young guys. But Tim Anderson fell off a cliff. He's been horrendous, especially since Jose Ramirez punched him. Andrew Vaughn has been awful this season. Luis Robert is injured, although he's a good player. And Yermin Mercedes is out of the fucking league. He's not even in the MLB anymore. So, huge props. And you look at some of the bench pieces that they had, Eloy Jimenez, Gavin Sheets, Nick Madrigal. These guys just have not panned out or on other teams. Nick Madrigal is not even on the team anymore. He's on the Cubs, and he doesn't even play. Like, he just barely plays. He's not even average. I would say he's below average. Just he's having a really bad year this year. It's a disaster. And so the White Sox kind of are doing the right thing in blowing it up. They realize their team blows. Either their good players are old or they're injured or the other players stink. And so they're selling off pieces, which is what they should do. And this is why they suck. And you might say, well, they do have young guys. That's true. The young guys are terrible, though. And that's the issue. They really weren't able to sustain it because they would have been able to sustain a run had they actually had good pieces on this team, good young pieces, but those guys haven't developed and they've been bad otherwise. I mean, Eloy Jimenez was thought to, hey, this guy could be really good for the team. He's been average at best. So a lot of problems in Chicago. The White Sox are just one of them. But yeah, we'll check back in on them later this season, but If you if the White Sox are in town, I virtualize. Let me see. Do the Red Sox play the White Sox this season in Boston? Because I would pay money to see that matchup. One of the worst teams in the league playing against, at best, a mediocre team. Let's see, White. I mean, we have to, right? We have to play Chicago. Okay, that's the Cubs. Ah, we play in Chicago in June. All right, well, it was worth a try. I guess I'll have to see the White Sox suck next year in person. But that's it for today, folks. Thank you all for listening to another episode of The Master Plan. I'm your host, Michael Flipkoski, and have a great day.